are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, in the early months of 2021, if you will remember, just over a year after the COVID-19 pandemic had started, the South African government secured millions of vaccine doses from several pharmaceutical companies. As a part of the terms and of the agreement between governments and the manufacturers, governments are required to exempt the manufacturers at least partly from liability and potential lawsuits in the case of any severe side effects to the vaccine that was being produced and what would be caused from thereof. Remember, it was still in its experimental stages when it had to be rolled out due to the dire need. In South Africa, this led to the establishment of the COVID-19 vaccine injury no-fault compensation scheme. And we're going to be talking a bit more about that, getting to understand what exactly it is and what it's all about. And we've got Advocate Bangisi coming through to help us make sense of it. Good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the Adventist World Radio.
Good afternoon, sir, and how are you?
Not doing okay, thank you so much. Trusting that we find you well.
I am very well, thank you.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and coming through to help us make sense of this injury scheme for the COVID-19 jab.
Yes, sure.
So we are looking here at this understanding. Maybe let's start with the definition of terms. What is this vaccine injury no-fault compensation scheme? It sounds so lengthy and quite tedious in just saying it. What exactly is it in layman's terms?
Okay. The vaccine gets to be administered, and after it has been administered, there is generally a reaction that comes as a reaction from the body.
Okay.
That particular reaction can be positive in that the body has been able to absorb without any sense of damage to it, or the body has been injured by the administration of the vaccine mm-hmm. onto it mm-hmm. to the extent that that vaccine, the reaction results to, you know, a fatality, death, or a severe injury, maybe mm-hmm. a permanent disabled person. So it could be that, and it is regarded as no fault in this regard, so that it is delineated from it being a damages claim.
Okay.
As
from the manufacturer.
It were in law,
okay.
As it were in law, a person who would die or who would be severely injured by the administration of it should not necessarily claim what we would call damages. But mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. all, it is just a species of damages. It's just that it is administered by the Department of Health, where you would want just to prove and say the very fact that this person died was caused by the administration of this vaccine onto the body. Mm-hmm. And then they will make an assessment, which assessment will lead to a compensation. Mm. Now, as you introduced the subject and you say governments made an agreement with pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
They did so because they were trying to safeguard the nations all around, okay. across the world at large, so that it was administered. But you will know by now that there were no trials that were run.
Mm.
And in that regard, if the efficacy of a particular vaccine was to some extent proven to be a little bit safe, and I'm using it a little bit
okay.
in quotes, if it was proven to be a little bit safe, then it could be rolled out to the countries of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the countries of the world, throughout the world. And you know it by now that Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, those were the two leading vaccines that were really accepted by the
yeah.
people out there.
Yeah.
So they had to be exempted, those pharmaceutical companies, because they were asked to manufacture by the World Health Organization on behalf of the countries of the world that they could at least, you know, tamper with the spread of COVID-19, as it were, at that time.
Okay.
So they needed to do this thing very quickly on time and urgently distribute it so that they could arrest the effects of COVID-19. So they were exempted. But if they were exempted, then no one was sure at that stage. And they only later on we actually know that they were also not sure. But I know they were dead certain that, look, other vaccination jabs would cause damage. Others would not cause damage. And we know by now that those first days of the administration of both of them were problematic. True. Both these two, both of them, they were problematic. I remember that Pfizer was like approved very quickly and it went through across the world. But Johnson & Johnson was held by the Federal Department of Health in America. And they said, no, we cannot allow this one to go out to the world at large unless we are certain of the following and the following and the following. And basically, they were talking about the safety thereof.
Yeah.
And once they were happy, I think it was a month or 2 months later, that at least the efficacy and the safety of the Johnson & Johnson jab was in order, then they were able to roll it out. Now, people on the ground would choose whatever it is that they don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And the governments needed now to take what we call in law liability.
Okay.
Because they knew some people would be negatively affected. And if they are negatively affected and they then contract death or they die or they contract severe injury, then they must be compensated. Mm. But it should not be on the basis of the fault of government. You will know by now, the church itself advised all Seventh-day Adventists across the world, you have a choice to make to take a jab or not to take a jab.
It's a personal decision.
The church did not impose on the church members to rather take it. But the psychology of it was such that in any event, the people would listen to the medical people, the health experts who say, please take it. And we would go and take it. If you don't take it, travel was restricted at some point. You were not allowed to enter some buildings. You are not allowed to do certain things. And people were, to some extent, and you are not allowed, even in the workplace. And this particular no-fault compensation came particularly also for the workplace environment, because now suddenly employers wanted to let everyone in their employ to take the vaccine, and they would regard it as an inherent requirement before you work in their workspaces.
Yeah.
So that if you have then contracted it, you would at least put in an application and put in a claim, and that claim would be assessed. There is an adjudication panel. That adjudication panel would approve or not even approve, and then you go to the appeal itself, and after if the appeal says no, the adjudication panel has not given the right decision, you are entitled to a payment, then the next step would follow that says, is it a serious injury? And that serious injury would have to determine how much you will get. So there was also now a quantum committee which determines how much you will get, and this other committee was determining whether this was a serious injury or not. All those four committees, they were in place so that at least they are able to look at your application and they can say, yes, this is very serious. If it is not serious, then they measure it according to percentages. To what extent is it not serious? Is it 20% injury? Is it 10% injury? I know that if it was 5% injury, you would not be paid. But if it was between 5 and 10%, 10 and 20%, 20 and 50%, there was also a quantum for those categories of injuries. And so the government needed to avoid what we have in the damages law. You see, in what we call the damages law patent road accidents, there you must prove that there is an injury, but there is a fault committed by somebody, and that fault committed by somebody, I'm entitled to so much. Even in medical negligence. Medical negligence, same thing. If you are claiming from a hospital against government or against a private hospital, you want to prove damages. In this instance, in vaccine administration, that fault factor was removed. So that
was wavered,
they
yeah.
looked... Yeah, they had then had to make an assessment. And I know you would have gone it. I heard just when you introduced the subject that if you die, for instance, the maximum is 150,000 rands. But in the law of damages, death is something else. It's a very big factor. So that's why it was called a no-fault compensation scheme, so that it was administering this, managing this situation.
Is it a standard procedure, though? Is it standard procedure that I get it? Maybe in this case, it was that there was no time to get the companies, the pharmaceutical manufacturers, to take liability because of the speediness or the urgency that was needed in terms of releasing and rolling out these vaccines. But is it standard practice that manufacturers would take then the liability for their drug, or it was mostly just for this COVID-19 jab that there was needing to be a recompense should anything happen?
Yeah, it was specifically for this one. Remember, before any drug, or for that matter, a vaccine, goes to the market, it has to undergo rigorous
testing.
And quality management should be as strong as it can be. Mm-hmm. Now, when it came to these vaccines, because of the severity of the virus, there was a problem in that no one could wait for 6 months. No one could wait for a year. Whereas pharmaceutical companies, before they introduce any of those drugs they have, they've got to make sure that they know to some extent the severity of the administration of any drug. If you drink Adcol tablets, for instance, I think it's called Adcol, whatever, they need to know, is it going to make you sleep or not?
Okay.
If it is going to make you sleep, Panado doesn't make you to sleep, but this Adcol, I think it's called Adcol. If you drink it, you should know the risks of doing so. Now, it's not an easy decision for the manufacturers just to make it overnight. They need to run tests, and these tests, they take time. They need to apply and probably make a little bit litmus test somewhere in a specific area, and say maybe test it on animals or on specific people.
Yes.
And that takes time. In this regard, they could never take time. Mm. Hence, they needed to be indemnified and removed from taking liability for the deaths of the people out there.
So the one thing that becomes a responsible advocate is the government, in essence, trying to protect its people to say, should something happen, here's a compensation fund that can then assist you.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Government needed to do so. And the World Health Organization pushed that factor because they were the very ones who insisted on governments on pharmaceutical, the industry itself to produce on a matter of urgency the vaccines. I mean, you remember what happened in Italy and in America.
Yeah.
People
died
in huge numbers.
Yeah.
And this was going to be spread into Africa at a later stage. Mm. And you know by now that in Africa, we were the very first ones in South Africa who were affected and infected much quicker than any other country in Africa. So they knew that if this thing has to spread across the world, let us all have the vaccine and let it be produced on a massive scale. That's what they needed to do. And but let me tell you this part.
Okay.
You see, this was brought into law and gazetted later on in 2021. I think it was signed on the 22nd of April, 2021 by Nkosazana Zuma, the minister then.
Mm-hmm.
But it came into operation at a later date.
Yeah.
Now, the fact of the matter is that all people who encountered the application of the vaccine before the coming into effect of these regulations,
mm-hmm.
they died. They could not claim those who died.
Mm.
Those who were severely injured could not claim. And they just died in silence. My father died in silence, by the way. And he had just received the administration of this vaccine on the 31st of May. And this had not yet come into operation at that moment.
That's terrible. So there is no, it's not covering back to periods before it was instituted?
It was not really retrospective, this particular regulation as such.
Mm-hmm.
But I think government could still be able to look back on the strength of the fact that they, in any event, were interested in this vaccine. But you would not really try to enforce it in court. You would want to enforce it as they administer it using the four committees that I'm telling you about.
Had I had
an opportunity, I would probably would have gone to make this particular claim on behalf of my family.
Yeah.
Now, let me make my father an example. My father died at the age of 81. Now, at that age, you put a claim and then they need to make a determination and say, yes, it seems it is the vaccine. And then they look at the quantum. Then they say, the quantum in this regard, your father was 81. Anyway, he would have died because he was already old. We give you 25,000 rand or we give you 10,000 rand.
Mm.
That's why it is a no-fault scheme, if you understand me now.
Yeah.
But then if it was a young man like myself and my younger brother, they would then say, no. At the age of 50, you are still eligible to live much longer for the next 30 years. 150,000 rands is fine to your family. It can be given.
Mm.
So it was that kind of a determination that they would make. And they were avoiding the courts, because if we were to go to court, we would be talking about loss of support. In court, when we talk about loss of support, we are talking, easily 3 million rands, easily.
Mm.
So that's why it is called a no-fault compensation type of situation.
Certainly.
Okay, Derek?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We'll have to leave it there then. Thank you so much, Advocate.
Why did this topic come so late to you at AWR? Because this topic should have been a bigger topic in 2021-22. You know that?
Certainly. But I don't think it's, it might be a bit late, but I think it's also still very much in function. Because remember, the claims, I would believe, even from your side as an expert in this, are still very much in play. There are many reports coming, even in this day and age, where people are still saying, hey, I'm having these side effects based on the jab that I took in 2020, 2021.
I see. Yeah. But now, you see, at this stage, it is far much less than what it was in 2021,
certainly.
Maybe in 2022 as well. But it's fine. It's just a species of a damages claim without you calling it damages, but you calling it a no-fault type of
scheme.
Okay.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Advocate, for the education and for the counsel. Truly appreciate your time.
God bless you.
Wonderful.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.